well as Happy Opening Day Part 2. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. We'll do that coming up. And the NCAA Men's Basketball National Championship coming up tonight. We'll have it for you at 6:30 on all three of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, and 106.3 FM, as it will be the Blue Blood North Carolina taking on the newbie and Gonzaga. We'll kick that around. Controversy over the weekend, lots of sports to talk about, and we'll get to it right after this. You're listening to the Gym Class coming up on KGYM. Welcome, 3:05 on a Monday. Rainy, was a little bit chilly, but actually he's picked up a little bit as far as the temperature is concerned right now. And again, happy opening day to everybody out there. Of course, last night and yesterday, three games played in Major League Baseball. You're joining us in 1600 AM along with 106.3 FM here this afternoon. We've got 107.5 FM with the home and season opener for the Minnesota Twins as they are hosting the Kansas City Royals at Target Field here this afternoon. So my playing partner, Mark Dukes, will have one eye on that and one eye on... No, your complete attention is right here in Studio A, correct?
It is indeed. 12 games on tap today in Major League Baseball. The White Sox kicking off here shortly. The Twins kicking off here shortly. Of course, yesterday, three games, as you mentioned. Cardinals beat the Cubs 4-3 in the season, nightcap of the first day of the Major League Baseball season. So, looking forward to that, and basketball, and a whole lot more. Scott Schebler, by the way, Cedar Rapids Prairie product, getting underway here. Within minutes, he'll make his debut for the Cincinnati Reds, at least season opening debut in right field, batting sixth for Cincinnati against Philadelphia. So that's a great story as well.
Going to be pretty cool. The 26-year-old will be in the opening day lineup for the Cincinnati Reds. So good to see a Cedar Rapidian in there. We've got baseball going on right now. And we mentioned the Twins and the Kansas City Royals are going to be starting off here in just a little bit. The Mets have opened it up against the Atlanta Braves. That is now a 6-0 lead for the Mets. Boston shutting out Pittsburgh right now behind Rick Porcello 5-0. Bottom of the third, Toronto and Baltimore are scoreless. After five, Milwaukee leading the Rockies up in Brewtown. That by a score of 5-4. And also slated to get underway, but they are not going to do so because of a rain delay in Chicago. The White Sox home opener against the Detroit Tigers. Verlander against Jose Quintana. That one right now, the tarp is on the field at whatever they're calling it these days. Can I just call it Comiskey Park? I'm going to call it Comiskey Park. There you go. I have made an executive decision here. I'm just going to call it Comiskey Park from here on in. So there you go.
Michael Oss going to join us. He is not eligible for our Dr. Pepper prize pack that we're going to be giving away today. Or is he?
I don't know. That's. But we do have a Dr. Pepper prize pack. And thank you to Steve Carter, everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper Snapple. Do appreciate all the help, all the support they give us. We're going to have Dr. Pepper prize packs all through the week, and you can enjoy your Dr. Pepper while watching the opening week of the baseball season. The Masters coming up. We've got Caddy Smack this Wednesday. We will have Rick Nance stop by Thursday. Always enjoy Rick Nance stopping by and opening our show, so we'll have that for you coming up on Thursday. But we've got an ice cold Dr. Pepper waiting for you via Dr. Pepper prize pack, courtesy of all of us here at the Gym Class. You're going to score a 24-pack of either regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper. So whatever your choice is, you're going to get two cases of it right away. Dr. Pepper t-shirts plus KGYM t-shirt and a pint glass to enjoy your ice-cold Dr. Pepper in. So listen all this week on the Gym Class right here on KGYM. In addition to everything going on, we've got college basketball tonight. We've got college basketball news. It's turn back the clock day in Washington, D.C. Patrick Ewing is going back to coach the Georgetown Hoyas. Why not? Fred Hoiberg did a great job at Iowa State going back home. Now Patrick Ewing is going to lead the NBA assistant coaching ranks. He's going to go back home. So very interesting right there as far as Georgetown basketball is concerned. And wrestling. Oh, boy, this is going to get fun. And we talked about this with Mark Ironside when Kevin Dresser was named the coach of the Iowa State Cyclones. KJ Pilcher on Twitter from the Cedar Rapids Gazette is reporting there's going to be a news conference tomorrow at Iowa State to announce assistant wrestling coaches. We kind of had a feeling this might happen. We didn't think it might be the headliners, though, that are going to go to Ames with Kevin Dresser. Sources with KJ Pilcher saying that Derek St. John kind of knew that one, but Bill Zadek and Brent Metcalf are going to be going to Ames. They're trading black and gold for cardinal and gold, Mark. Might not be right away, but in about 3-4 years, you got a feeling the fur is going to fly. It's going to be more fun to watch the coaches on the edge of the mat than it might be to watch the action on the mat coming up in about 4 or 5 years.
I, for one, have to wonder about this. These guys are lifelong Hawkeyes. I understand Dresser wanting the head coaching job, but Metcalf has been, you know, one of the faces of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and Iowa Wrestling, Zadek and St. John's Hawkeyes. And now, are they defecting?
Oh, yes.
The Iowa State job's better than what they have. I thought Metcalf was going to USA Wrestling.
That was the, he was a volunteer coach at Cedar Rapids Prairie this past winter, and now is going to go and be on the Iowa State staff. So, obviously, Kevin Dresser's first recruits, pretty important. Not on the mat itself, but, like we said, on the side of the mat. And getting those assistant coaches away from
Iowa City. I'm just suspicious by nature. I wonder if there's more to this.
Could be. Could be. Your thoughts, 319-366-1600. The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. We do appreciate them helping us out, as always. And check us out at 319-366-1600. You can also reach us via the phone at 319-366-1600.
Especially if you think we committed an infraction, not just today, but any day. And
please,
you
know, don't answer
any
that
day
question.
Of the last 10 years we've been doing the show, we made a mistake, committed an infraction. You listen, call into our hotline, and you can probably get things changed.
You were hot about this yesterday.
I'm still hot about it.
As a golfer. Where do you start? Let's start there. What maybe underplayed over the weekend happened yesterday, and obviously, the LPGA Tour is not the most watched. It's not the most followed sport as far as America or the world is concerned. But yesterday, past the midway point of the first major in the LPGA Tour, which is what, the ANA Inspiration now or something? It used to be the Nabisco Dynasure.
Correct.
In Rancho Mirage, California. A very prestigious event as far as the LPGA Tour is concerned. And it's kind of the Masters of the LPGA, mm-hmm. if you will. It's played at the same venue every year and has a very good following. Lexi Thompson, an American, out in front. I believe by, what was it, 2 or 3 at the time?
Between the 12th green and the 13th hole, she carried a 2-stroke lead.
Approached by members of the LPGA Rules Committee and the LPGA, and informed her that she was going to be given a pair of 2-shot penalties. 1 2-shot penalty for not replacing her ball in the correct manner, and the second 2-shot penalty for signing an incorrect scorecard. But then you say, Scott, how can you sign an incorrect scorecard when she is in the middle of the round? It was from Saturday's third round on the 17th hole, where she had about a 2-foot putt, really.
At most.
Marked it. The correct way to mark is you put your ball directly behind the ball.
Not the way some of my buddies do it. They mark the front of the ball and then replace it, you know, ahead about two. No, not like that.
Like that at all. What she did, instead of putting it directly in front of the coin, she put it slightly askew. Didn't make the putt any tougher. Might have made it even farther than what it was. Made a mistake, yes. I think, in my mind anyway, an honest mistake. I mean, if she's going to cheat, she's going to do it on a important 15-footer or something like that, she needs a birdie, not a tap-in 2-footer, basically. And someone at home, and this is not the first time this has happened as far as the world of golf is concerned, and we're going to talk more about this on Caddy Smack on Wednesday, I'm sure, when Brian Haas joins us. But somebody at home got a hold of the Golf Channel, got a hold of the LPGA Tour, pointed it out, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, you have an infraction. You have an infraction that was told after the 12th hole. Similar to what happened to Dustin Johnson with the USGA last year in the fourth and final round up in Pittsburgh. But he ended up winning the event. And it was only a 2-shot penalty, I believe, for Dustin, if my memory serves me correctly. This was a 4-shot penalty because she signed an incorrect scorecard and was assessed the penalty for
and the incorrect placement. And sometimes you'd be disqualified, but part of that rule is that she unknowingly did it. I believe.
Continue. I believe so. Being a golfer, it was one of those things that happens. Probably a little bit peeved. She missed the birdie putt, was coming back. It didn't make the... I understand the rules, and the rules are there to be abided by. But this set off a firestorm yesterday, not only in the world of golf, but also in the sports world. Been talking about it today on ESPN Radio, other outlets as far as national sports media are concerned. And where do you stop this? Okay, 1985, someone just called. Don Denkinger, you missed that call in 1985. Cardinals are the world champions mm-hmm. now. Not the Royals. Oh, the 1972 Olympic men's basketball team. Yeah, I don't think you quite did that right. On first, second, and third tries with that, by the way. Look it up, young people. Between the Russians and the Americans, led by Doug Collins back then. But, where do you draw the line? Just wondering... What do you think out there? 319-366-1600.
Let me test this. Siri, please call the LPGA Rules Committee. I didn't quite understand your question.
There you go.
How do you know the number? How do you know the email address? I suppose it's easy enough to find, but here's what I think. I think Lexi Thompson marked her ball and replaced it in the wrong way. She marked her ball to the side. To the side of the ball, replace the ball in front of the coin. Fractions of an inch were involved. I don't think she realized she did anything wrong at the time. Her playing partners were standing right there, didn't say anything. And then for someone to watch highlights and either email or phone in this particular situation, I blame the LPGA and the PGA for allowing viewers to get involved from a couple standpoints. And more than that, not having a statute of limitations.
It should be done.
When you sign your scorecard after a given round, it ought to be done. A viewer should not be able to call in and change the outcome, especially in a major tournament such as this. Moreover, it's unfair to the players that are in the lead and on TV constantly. Somebody 12 strokes back yesterday, or on Saturday, I'm sorry, 12 strokes back, never made it on TV, could have done the same thing, and nobody would have ever seen it because the TV cameras were not showing it, and therefore it wasn't under the scrutiny of viewers. The players that are in the lead or near the lead, shown on TV quite a bit, are under far more scrutiny than those just who have made the cut and are completing their third and fourth rounds. I mean,
okay, where do you draw the line?
Ladies professional golf, I get it. Hardly anybody watches it. But
what happened to Dustin Johnson? Somewhat similar situation last year.
It's an easily correctable thing. Don't allow viewers to get involved and establish a statute of limitations. Plain and simple. Well, of course, changing the home field for the World Series is fairly easy to change, too, but that hasn't been done.
That's a whole different kettle of fish right there. 319-366-1600.
As it was, she would have won by four strokes. It was remarkable that she birdied three holes down the stretch and got into a playoff.
I agree.
Where she lost on the first extra hole. But without the four strokes, she would, I mean, she might have gotten tightened up and, you know, lost the lead anyway, but she would have won by four.
You got to think that she was probably going to win coming down the line anyway. And it's not only golf. This has been happening in golf since, you remember the very first one? You go back to the Walrus, Craig Stadler, who was given a two-shot penalty because he was swinging underneath a tree. He put a towel down so he wouldn't get all dirty and whatnot, sappy, underneath the tree when he was kneeling to try to hit a ball out. And a viewer called and said that's a penalty because he improved his stance. And ever since then, it's been going on as far as golf is concerned. Where do you stop it? Do you go to baseball? I know Dan Le Batard said today, I'm waiting for the first guy to call in from his couch and say that was a strike. That caught the corner. It wasn't a ball. Go back to the fifth inning and get that taken care of. Mm-hmm. Get that replayed. Get that changed. Two runs would not have come in if that was called a strike. And more video is being used in all sports now. It's not only LPGA golf or PGA golf. It's being used in more sports. And where do you say, where do you draw the line and say enough is enough?
Text line lighting up. That's 319-366-1600. Jerry asking Investment Services text line. Andy at 2133. I'll bet the person that called the Golf Channel was also a hall monitor in grade school. 0190, can we use a little common sense when it comes to golf rules? I know it's a huge gray area if they would do that, but come on. And what the hell do they need to review for 24 hours? If they couldn't have notified her prior to the final round, they should have left it. But you know what they say? Any kind of press is good press. Kenneth, RE, the PGA and LPGA. Mark is completely right in my opinion. The fans at home should be in no way be able to influence a tournament. 0190, I'm not sure who ended up winning the LPGA event yesterday, but wouldn't that leave a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth?
And it did.
Winning a major that way. I thought, you know, if I was Rue, I don't know, I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. She's won two majors, but I can't pronounce her name. There's a part of me that felt like, you know, they play a par five to decide the championship. I'm just going to hit a wedge or a putter down the fairway. I'm not going to concede, but I'm going to make a 10 on this hole just so she can win it.
So Young Yu was the golfer. And the first thing she said on television was, this doesn't feel right. And she said that in her post-round interview. It just does not feel right. She got to see the infraction. They showed her reaction to watching the infraction in the scoring tent, and she couldn't believe it. She just, wow. And I think that was just kind of the reaction from everyone on the LPGA Tour, the PGA Tour. There were a bunch of tweets from their golfers out there as well. And they have gone and changed with a lot of the rules coming up in 2019. They've kind of taken a common sense approach to some of these. You're not going to see the Dustin Johnson rule happen again where the ball slightly moved and he's going to get a two-shot penalty. They had one last year in an LPGA major where the ball in the bunker and a super shot close-up, the ball oscillated slightly on as the golfer was taking the club back, and they docked her two penalty strokes. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see that when you're in 54th place and you're...
Exactly.
That's the problem with all this. When do you say when?
47-36, a two-stroke penalty for incorrect scorecard when the next round has already started is ridiculous. Our friend Ed at 63-34, and Enos Slaughter was out in the slide in the 46th World Series, too.
I like that. See, where do you stop? Where do you stop? You can go the way back.
Golf needs to get out of its own way.
True.
Be sensible about this.
There you go. We had opening day last night. Cubs and Cardinals put on a good show. Cubs tied it in the ninth inning with the home run. Cardinals won it. Randall Grichuk had a terrific night last night for St. Louis. That was high drama last night down at Busch Stadium. And more good play. It's a bad day for relief pitchers. Tell you what, I know it's 162-game season, but you got to think the San Francisco Giants yesterday. What are they thinking in the back of their minds? They led the universe in blown ninth-inning saves last year, brought in Melanson for, I think, what's over $60 million to shore that up. And what's he do on the very first day? And you could just see the Giants walking off the field yesterday, kind of in a daze, going, oh, my God, it happened again. And, yeah, it's one loss out of 162 games. But that one, I think, really hurt the San Francisco Giants.
Madison Bumgarner, your home run leader.
Yes, he is.
Here's his batting line, 2-2-2-2. And his pitching line is 7 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, no walks, 11 strikeouts, and the Giants lose.
Lost that performance, although he didn't pitch as well as Carlos Martinez did last night for the Cardinals.
He's good.
And
Lester was good, too. Got out of some jams.
He got out some jams, did a good job. Martinez was amazing, and he didn't get the win last night. But man alive, the Giants. Oh, you lose a game when Bumgarner hits two home runs, had a chance to get a victory. Didn't pitch really well. He had a no-hitter through five, I believe, and kind of hit a wall after that. But still, you blow a game like that. You blow a game. They, like I said, they had 9 leads in the ninth inning. They lost last year. And on opening day, they lose another one after bringing in a guy that was going to stop the bleeding at that time. So it's tough. It is tough. 319-366-1600. And then tonight we've got NCAA basketball, the men's championship. Oh, by the way, Connecticut lost over the weekend. The women, 111-game winning streak. Goes by the boards. Thought it was great semifinal action on Saturday down in Phoenix as far as the NCAA is concerned. Thought that was great. And I think it's going to be a great championship game coming up tonight.
Friday you were gone. We were going to talk about the men's semifinals. And I said, well, wait, the women's semifinals are coming up too. But what's the point? UConn's going to win the damn thing anyway. And then I text Alex after that UConn-Mississippi State game. I said, man, was I wrong?
Just shows
anything can happen. Yeah,
just shows anything can happen out there. That is the subject of our poll question mark at KGYMRadio.com today.
It is indeed. Go to KGYMRadio.com. This year's national champion will be North Carolina or Gonzaga. You can watch the game tonight and enjoy some food and drink at Emil's Hideaway, our poll question sponsor. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's.
Yeah, let us know what you think. We'll give our prediction at the end of the program here today. North Carolina or Gonzaga. And right now, the good news, the tarp's coming off at USO. Oh, there I go. Comiskey Park.
Another point being made on the text line by two different texters, 0190. Do you guys have any opinion on the ball Baez lost in the white sign behind home plate? Big deal or no? I'm guessing you won't see another one all year.
Another white sign or another
complaint?
Well, the sign was changed after that play.
Baez either lost the ball on that white sign or misplayed it at second base.
I thought at first it was the umpire that got in his way.
Yeah, I think it resulted on runners first and third. And Joe Madden trots out, unlike something I've ever seen a manager do. But Baez apparently complained that he lost the ball on the white sign. It's a sign with white background, colored letters. There's plenty of colored backgrounds with white letters. I suppose technically you could lose the ball in a J in Jolly Time popcorn that's painted white in a red background. But Baez seemed to think that he lost the ball on that white sign. Madden, after talking to umpires talking to the Cardinals side of things. Well, this is one of those signs that flip periodically.
Correct. Every
so
half inning or
flipped
inning.
To a blue background. And then all was well with the world.
Except for that advertiser, I believe, that was very unhappy. I don't know. Baez is the only one that knows for sure. And they got it rectified. Here, in a perfect world, there'd only be a brick wall there or whatever the case may be. in a perfect world, but we don't live in a perfect world anymore. We live in a world that television and television byproducts dictates. We've learned that for many, many years. I don't think it's going to change.
Lose the ball in the sun, you want a roof over every stadium? I don't know. Are there those out there that believe Baez lost it in that sign? Perhaps he did.
Well, never. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. 319-366-1600. 330. Oh, Alex says it was MLB.com sign, there, which are white with the blue and red background there. So, yeah, it was a hard hit ball.
I don't think it's the only park in which that sign is displayed, is it?
And the advertising ain't going away. I can tell you that.
They'll change that sign before the World Series home field advantage. I guarantee you.
I don't know what you do because they're not taking away revenue, Mark. They're not taking away revenue. I guarantee that's not going to happen. All right. I also guarantee we're going to have Michael Lawson when we come back. We're going to talk with him about the weekend happenings, and he's going to be headed to Augusta tomorrow. For the Masters, the 10th anniversary. Great piece yesterday in the Gazette, by the way, that was written by Mike. And we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM.
Back in the 1940s, if you told Willa Dickens that his future customers at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers could customize their engagement rings on something called his website, he would have likely said, "You were full of horse feathers." But, as they say, times change. Now you can visit HertineandStockerJewelers.com to see their exclusive designs from Gabriel & Company, along with beautiful creations from Luminar and Mercury. Customize your ring by selecting the precious metal, mounting, diamond size, and price right there. It's the perfect marriage of contemporary technology and classic service. And if you'd rather do things old school, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Hi there. I'm here for your basement.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Yeah, what seems to be the problem?
It's my basement. It's bad.
Sure, let's take a look.
No, you don't understand. It's gotten a little out of hand. A pipe leaked in the ceiling and it never quit.
Well, let's assess the damage.
Okay.
Hi there.
Who's this?
I told you it was bad.
You two look like you could use ponchos.
The other day it was just a leak, and then this happened.
You know where the shutoff valve is?
Ah, feel that breeze.
I think it's over by that dinghy.
A plumber, are you? Say, I could use a guy like you. Have any experience on boats?
As a matter of fact, I do. My father was a lobster fisherman up in Nova Scotia for many years.
You don't say.
Yeah, I really only took this plumbing gig to earn a little extra scratch, but really...
Not again.
Home in need of repair? Don't drown in debt. Get a loan. Go to PACO. DePACO Community Credit Union. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePACO.com.
DePACO Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at Austed's.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Back with you at 3:33 here on the Gym Class, Monday edition here on KGYM. I want to remind you, coming up tomorrow, we'll talk baseball. Cal Eldred will join us, and should be very interesting, taking a look at the opening day for Sunday and Monday. We'll get Cal's thoughts on that. And also tomorrow, Kim Moore, the... National Coach of the Year and the coach of your national champion, Kirkwood Eagles women's basketball team, will join us tomorrow. Looking forward. He was at the Final Four over the weekend as well, so got that award down there. Great for Kim, great for Kirkwood. They complete the undefeated season, win the National Junior College Division II National Championship in Arkansas last week.
Seventh time, right?
We'll ask him tomorrow. We'll get that for sure. We'll get that taken care of. So That'll be coming up on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Got a very, very jam-packed week for you. We got a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away as well. Don't forget, coming up on Friday, APC, Tyler and Todd, the Tyler Ryder send-off show this Friday. Stop on by, tell Tyler congratulations, and thank him for his years of service here. They will be down at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire Service, lindertire.com. And that's at 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square coming up on Friday.
Do we have a caller on the line pointing out an infraction made on the gym class at some point in our history?
I think we could come up with a lot of infractions there. A guy that makes no infractions joining us now. And that's Michael Oss, the sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Enjoy his stuff like I did yesterday on at thegazette.com and in the paper as well. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I came out of the womb an infraction. I got a couple quick points. Number one, if Kirkwood had played Connecticut last Friday night, it wouldn't have gone to overtime. Kirkwood would have won that thing in regulation. And I'm not sure that I'm kidding.
No.
And secondly, I am eligible for whatever the Dr. Pepper prize pack is. I don't care what it is. I want it.
It's a 24-pack of your choice of regular
and,
or Diet Dr. Pepper, a pint glass.
I'll tell you right now, and you're not paying me to say this, but that Diet Dr. Pepper is good stuff.
It is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Does it go well with a pimento cheese sandwich, Mike?
So does a ball-peen hammer.
Have you never had one at the Masters?
The first couple times I went, I had them out of obligation, and it's like some things. They're just so darn good that after you've had them a couple times, you can never have them again.
But they're cheap. They're only like $1.50, $2, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, they have eyes and ears everywhere, so don't ask me to tell you what those things are really like.
I will say this, though. If you ever have an opportunity to go to Augusta, it is the most reasonable prices around after you get into the gate. We'll just say that.
Because right.
They don't need to make money.
Okay, you can go to the White House and get a nice slab of meatloaf for a reasonable price, but it's going to cost you something to get in the door.
That's true. That is very true. Before we get to the Masters, we were talking about a little bit, got a lot of good interaction on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line as well. The statute of limitations. When is something in sports done? Apparently, at least in golf, it's not for a 24-hour period. May cost Lexi Thompson a major championship yesterday, and I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like the way that video is kind of dictating sports. Then you had Javier Baez maybe losing a ball in an advertising sign. That's a byproduct of that as well. It's not going to end anytime soon, I know that.
No, I think it was a well-orchestrated plot by the LPGA to get somebody to notice it exists, and it worked beautifully.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that the LPGA was holding a major tournament until things started to flutter across social media that there's been this four-shot penalty. It's like a four-shot penalty. That must, what did the player do? Go into the crowd and start swinging clubs at people? But... that whole thing, everybody agrees it's bogus. But it's part of a larger thing. The changing of officiating in all sports, and we saw it Friday night in the national women's semifinals when Mississippi State almost got robbed of its chance to go to the final game because they called a flagrant one after a video review that lasted longer than the game itself. And it wasn't a flagrant one. The only people who thought it were the officials and the two ESPN announcers. The rest of the world says, no, that's ridiculous. So this is all a work in progress. This video review stuff is still pretty much brand new stuff in all sports. I think there will be a day, we may not live long enough to see it, but your younger listeners will, in which this stuff is perfect. It's absolutely perfect and flawless. Right now, it's still a baby, and it's you know, mistakes will be made. To me, it's like the driverless car. I'm not going to get one right away because I think the first 10,000 of them are going to run into each other. But someday, the driverless car will be a perfect, beautiful thing, and that's when I want one.
All right, Mike, you wrote about Zach Johnson 10 years after his Masters Championship, and I hope everybody caught it, but I just got the sense that this is the same Zach Johnson as he was 10 years ago, except for the fact he's won a potload more tournaments and a lot more money.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't talk about him as much, of course, if he hadn't won those majors, but... Yeah, I mean, look, the reason that he has continued to win and be a Ryder Cup player and so forth and so on is he didn't live in the past. You know, he didn't identify himself as a Masters champion. He identifies himself as a guy who's looking forward, not backwards, like all of us should do. And that's what works for him, you know. It is very boring, one shot at a time. One day at a time, but that's how the great ones do it. I mean, you hear these stories in the NBA about how the best players will go to the gym in the summertime and work on one specific thing that they didn't feel they were good enough at, and the next year they're even better. And I think that's what you see at the elite level of every sport, and I think that's what you've seen from Zach.
He's still the kid, like he said 10 years ago, and not a kid so much, but he's still the guy from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And like you said, it doesn't play real well as far as the national and international media is concerned, but Zach's never had that in the back of his mind anyway. He just wants to go out and do his thing, and he'll give it a try again. And interestingly enough, the forecast for this week kind of resembles 2007 a little bit.
Well, I'm sure he likes that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, look, the best in anything are authentic. They're genuine. They're true to themselves. They, you know, what you see is what you get. And I don't care if that's art or if it's sport or just public life in general. I mean, I'd use Dick Vitale as an example. Dick Vitale has had a million people mock him and a million more and a million more after that. And he's an easy target. But if you've ever met him, that's who he is. And you can't help but like and respect that's somebody who just, that's who he is. And he's just enthusiastic he's jabbering every moment that he's awake. And it's sort of endearing. And be who you are. And with Zach, he's a grinded out guy who, you know, is never going to have histrionics on a golf course, and he's never going to say anything that's going to get the whole world mad at him. And great, that's who he is.
Mike, take us to the tournament, if you will, for those of us who have never had the opportunity to do so. You've covered multiple Masters, and I know Scott's been there. I never have been. But from a media standpoint, and I know it depends on what you want to accomplish on a certain day, whether it's following Zach or pursuing another story, but how much time do you spend in the media center? How much do you go out on the course? Do you go through down Magnolia Lane when you get there? What happens?
Well, they don't let me do that. No. I walked a few steps down at once, you know, but the Pinkerton guards kind of say, okay, that's enough. But access is great. I don't know how much interest this is to people out there, so I'll try and make it brief. But it's one of the few sporting events, maybe it's one of the few events, period, left in the country where they still, I don't want to use the word respect, but I think respect might be the right word. They still respect sports writers. For those who haven't paid attention, we're kind of dinosaurs. But sports writers built the Masters as much as anything. They really did. In the 40s and 50s, sports writers, you know, it was a different world, and newspapers were kings, and there were king makers who wrote for newspapers, and they they basically helped create this event in Georgia and built it up. And Augusta loves its traditions, as everybody knows, and so they've always retained respect, and they've always treated sports writers very well. In fact, they're opening a brand new, they've opened a new media center this week, and I don't know if I heard this right or not. I think it set them back $25 million, although they don't talk about money. I mean, things are palace. It's ridiculous. But it's because they wanted the property where the old media center was located for something else. So it's like, okay, we'll just make them one that's 10 times bigger and better. Except the funny thing is the old media center was the best media facility in sports, easily. It was an amphitheater. So I probably won't be able to stand the shock of being in something so nice. But again, that's stuff that the average person doesn't care about. The average people do go to this tournament. And Mark, sometime while you can, as much as you love golf, I'd say try to get down there and scrounge up a ticket, because they're not impossible to get.
Mm.
And some years you can get deals, and you do see it happen. Just, if nothing else, for the rest of your life, your mind's eye will be changed about how you see it.
Yes, it will be. Forever.
Have you ever,
yeah. I'll tell you what, very quickly, it's a grueling walk.
Yes, it is.
The elevation changes are severe, and TV just does not even begin to get that for some reason. But it's a mighty good hike.
One of those sports writers you talked about, Mike, is Dan Jenkins, and I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to chat with him, but this guy's written 22 books, largely about golf, and the latest one is Don't Stick a Fork in Me or something like that. Yeah. I mean, one of the wittiest guys. Even he's embraced social media. His tweets this Masters week will be brilliant.
Yeah, he's just one of the funniest writers, I think, to me, in American history, and fiction and nonfiction. He wrote for Sports Illustrated, covered college football and golf for a long time, then went to Golf Digest, but has also written many, many novels, and they're all of the same vein, comedy, sports-related generally. If you're familiar with Semi-Tough, it was a movie with Burt Reynolds a few decades ago, but he wrote the novel that it was based on, and the novel was, I would say, 10,000 times better than the movie. It's one of those books you can pick up every 2 or 3 years and read it again and laugh your head off as if you're reading it for the first time. But he is also, he's a true blue journalist, too, who raises hard points that some people might not. He was a critic of Tiger Woods before it became fashionable. And Tiger Woods got a lot of genuflecting from the national golf media, but Jenkins didn't play that game. And I think in some ways Jenkins was born right.
Yeah.
87 years old. He's no Sid Hartman, but he's 87. Yeah.
You know, I've had one interaction with him. He's one of those people I see, and I would love to go talk to him for an hour, but at the same time, it's like, no, everybody wants to do that, and people bother him all the time, so it's like, I'll leave him alone. It's the best way I can honor him. But I was standing in a media center a few years ago looking at this photograph of taken back in the 50s when the Masters writers worked in a Quonset hut, a metal hut.
Mm.
You know, everybody banging on typewriters. People who worked there at that time said it was the loudest place they ever worked in their lives. And so I'm just staring at this photo because it's just fascinating to see, you know, all these guys in hats and neckties and dress shirts pounding on old typewriters in this Quonset hut, this metal hut. And I'm looking at it, and Dan Jenkins walks by, and he says, "I knew every one of those guys." So I turn around it's like, okay, I got an opening to say something. And I just finished reading your autobiography, and I really enjoyed it. And he said, "And every word was true."
He's sharp.
Yeah.
Michael Loss joining us on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here at 3:49. Very intriguing national championship basketball game coming up tonight between the old school and the new school, if you will, in this one. And it's been a good NCAA tournament. The women's tournament over the weekend was terrific with Connecticut going down. And then you had Gonzaga and North Carolina. After all the posturing this year in college basketball, you got two number one seeds going at it, but two very different number one seeds, which will make it intriguing tonight.
Yeah, that's often how it does go. I mean, class will tell in general. But I think that Gonzaga is a number one seed. A lot of people said, well, we'll see. You know, we've seen this movie before. But the more you watch them, the more you realize they have talent. They're a number one seed. They're good. They're national championship worthy, whether they win it or not. And this guard, Nigel Williams-Goss, or Goss-Williams, I always get it mixed up, but he's really good. And they've got that the big guy, Collins, played out of his mind Saturday. I think he blocked six shots. I mean, he made himself a lot of money. They're good. And North Carolina, you know what you're getting. So it's old money against new money, except this new money at Gonzaga. If you look, the last 20 years they've been, I think, 23-11 is their worst record in the last 20 years.
Mm.
I mean, in 20 years, that's their worst record. And I know they play in a small conference, but they're not big. I've been to Spokane, Washington, and it's like George Raveling. George Raveling coached in Pullman, which is very close to Spokane. And when Raveling came to Iowa, he said about Pullman, it's not the end of the world. But you can see it from there. And, well, you can see Pullman from Spokane, so that's where you are. You're not, if they call it the West Coast, it's not the West Coast. It's a five-hour drive to Seattle, and it's, technically it's in a desert. So they have been able to pull top talent to that place for 20 years, and it's a great story, and I'm happy to see a non-football school from a tiny conference with a chance to win the national title, and I hope they do.
Don't have a lot of time here yet, Mike, but it's been announced, at least your colleague KJ Pilcher are breaking the story that Kevin Dresser, the new Iowa State wrestling coach, has bringing on board three Hawkeyes, Brent Metcalf, not just any Hawkeyes either.
Yeah.
Brent Metcalf, Bill Zadick, and St.
Mike
Zadick, I'm sorry,
yeah. Okay.
And St. John. I said earlier, I'm a little suspicious here that three guys of this stature are going to Iowa State. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, I think you might be because these weren't people who had jobs at Iowa for one reason. Zadick coached with Dresser for 2 years at Virginia Tech. St. John was a volunteer assistant for Dresser at Virginia Tech. And Metcalf is just starting to get his feet wet in coaching. And is, you know, starting at Iowa State, that's a pretty good starting spot. So there's nothing hinky about any of this from an Iowa standpoint. I'm sure it's very hard for Metcalf to go. He's tight with those people at Iowa. There's never, to my knowledge, been any fallout. And I mean, look, Zadick's worked with Dresser for 2 years. St. John was on Dresser's staff. Kind of a natural thing.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But I thought Metcalf was going to be at USA Wrestling. I could be wrong.
Well, I don't know what his story is, but he obviously wants to be a coach, and to get your first job, you know, at Iowa State, that's pretty good.
I guess we sit next to Mark Ironside every Tuesday during the wrestling season, and he wouldn't be cut dead in names.
Nah.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. And he probably will never speak to those three guys.
Could be right. Could be right about that. We'll look forward to everything from Augusta that you write, Mike. It's a special place, one of the most special on the planet Earth, and should be a lot of fun. Hopefully Zach will give you a lot to write about this week.
Yeah, that would be nice, and thank you. And I'll be back in Cedar Rapids by next Monday afternoon if all goes right, and maybe we'll have a lot to talk about.
I hope so. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Safe travels.
Thank you.
All right, Mike Halas joins us on Mondays, 3:54. All right, we're going to take a break. So we go to break. Going to give you a chance to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack. And Michael Oss talked about it. He gave a sterling endorsement of Diet Dr. Pepper.
If we get Mike from Cedar Rapids winning the thing.
we got a 24-pack of either regular or Diet Dr. Pepper, a Dr. Pepper t-shirt, plus KGYM pint glass KGYM t-shirt for caller number 6 out there at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. Back to wrap it up after this.
Hi, I'm Amelia, and at my age of 14, I just don't want to be tied down with any long-term commitments. If computers at your business break, call Network Computer Solutions, and they'll fix the problem quickly and just charge you for the work they do. No contracts are needed that tie you down. You've got plenty of time to worry about commitments later. We have our whole lives ahead of us.
Call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. What kind of job would make you happier? One that pays more? One that makes you feel appreciated? One that offers the kind of benefits that world-class companies can offer? Red Star Yeast in Cedar Rapids has all that and a lot more, like company picnics and nights out at the ballpark. You get the benefits of a big company and the family feel at Red Star Yeast. What that means is you're appreciated and you're heard. Red Star Yeast is looking for electrical and mechanical maintenance technicians right now. To learn more about joining the Red Star Yeast family in Cedar Rapids, visit the careers page at redstaryeast.com.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports, like you, with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great.
And we want to help you get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
All right, thanks to Michael Oss for joining us. Read his stuff this week in the Gazette from Augusta National. And coming up tomorrow, Cal Eldred will join us to talk more Major League Baseball. And Kim Moule, the head coach of the Women's World National Championship. Maybe they are world champions. I don't know. Division II National Junior College Division II champion Kirkwood Eagles will join him coming up tomorrow. Poll question at KGYMradio.com.
Emil's Hideaway poll question. This year's national champion will be North Carolina or Gonzaga?
Right now, everyone's Bulldogs fans, man.
Yeah, indeed. And I don't. How do you expect to do my homework tonight?
Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, you expect me to have a segment on that tomorrow?
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the. I got challenges tonight.
You got challenges tonight. I have challenges tonight as well. I've got the DVR going for the national championship game. I will watch it when I get home tonight. So. Have a little bit of going to a concert tonight.
Musical inclination tonight, huh?
Yeah, we're gonna have fun tonight, but we'll watch that when we get back here. More on opening day with the APC coming up next with Todd and Tyler right here on KGYM. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to Gonzaga and North Carolina tonight, beginning at 6:30. We'll have that on all three frequencies right here on KGYM. They'll keep you updated on opening day of Major League Baseball as well. Congratulations to Ben from Cedar Rapids.
Mike from Cedar Rapids just squeezed out.
Just squeezed out by Ben, but more Dr. Pepper prize packs to give away throughout the week here on KGYM. Have a great Monday night.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there?